With this historic transition, the Lieutenant Governor and I want to share some of the details with you. First, Iowans can expect this transition will progress smoothly. We've worked together as partners for the last 6 years, and since the full transition occurs after I have been confirmed by the United States Senate, it's difficult to know the exact date that that's going to occur. I'm told that there's a huge amount of paperwork that I have to fill out. I've talked to people that have been appointed ambassadors before, and I've talked to the transition team, and they've prepared me for it. I have not received the paperwork yet, but as soon as we get that, we'll start working on that. And I'm told after I've submitted that, they have 42 days to review it. Then it goes to the appropriate Senate committee. I've already talked with Senator Grassley, and he said he'd be glad to introduce me to the committee. I will likely then have to meet with the committee members and have hearings on the appointment. In 2009, President Obama announced his intention to appoint former Governor Huntsman from Utah as the ambassador to China. That was May 16th. Governor Huntsman was eventually confirmed on August 7th of 2009. As you know, since then, former Governor Gary Locke from Washington was the ambassador. And when Vice President Xi visited here in 2012, February 2012, Ambassador Locke rode with the Lieutenant Governor and her husband and I and my wife as we sped down Fleur Drive, because we met him at the airport, and my granddaughter presented him with a big bouquet of roses, but then we also wanted to greet him here at the Capitol. So I'm telling Ambassador Locke about Gray's Lake and Waterworks Park as we're going by the motorcade on the way, and we did get here in time. And so then, of course, now Max Baucus is the ambassador. My wife and I talked to him and his wife over the weekend. His wife is Melanie Haynes. Some of you may remember Melanie Haynes as a lawyer and prosecutor here for Polk County Attorney's Office. And they've been extremely helpful to us, and we intend to meet with them, as we go through this process. President-elect Trump's inauguration is not till January 20th, and based on that date, I will be, prior to that date, delivering the condition of the state address to the 2017 General Assembly, as well as presenting a biennial budget for both years of this, and the Lieutenant Governor and I will be putting that together based on the revenue estimate that we received today, and we intend to submit a biennial budget, which we're very hopeful will be approved by this General Assembly to maintain the stability and predictability that we promised when we were elected in 2010 and 14. Likewise, I will present to the General Assembly as we have in the past. Once confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and we don't know when that date will be, your guess is as good as mine, but before I am actually sworn as ambassador, I will resign as governor. Upon resignation, the Lieutenant Governor will become the governor, and Governor Reynolds will then choose the Lieutenant Governor according to Iowa law. Governor Reynolds will not have to resubmit any of the appointments that I have made prior to my resignation. And even though they may not have been acted on by the Senate, the appointments will continue and as submitted by the governor, be it myself or by Governor Reynolds in the future. So with that, let me turn it over to the Lieutenant Governor.
Well, thank you, Governor Branstad. And first, I want to congratulate Governor Branstad on this historic appointment. I can absolutely think of no individual that is more qualified to serve in this capacity, and it certainly is a reflection of his character, his leadership skills, his experience, and most importantly, a relationship, a 30-year relationship with the President of China. So not only is Iowa fortunate to have Governor Branstad serving in this capacity, but this country is really blessed to have him serving in that capacity, especially when you look at the two largest economies in the world and the value that he brings to this position. So I'm excited for him, for the opportunity, not only for him, but for Chris and the Branstad family. As Governor Branstad indicated, he will remain governor until the confirmation. And upon confirmation by the United States Senate and the resignation of Governor Branstad, I will become the governor of the great state of Iowa. I plan on taking the oath of office as governor and filling the vacancy of the lieutenant governor position. For 6 years, I have had the opportunity to be a partner in this administration and work alongside the best governor in the nation. And it certainly is my hope and my goal to continue the same relationship with the lieutenant governor that will serve in my administration. And we both know that ensuring a smooth transition is paramount. So to that end, I'm also proud of the exceptional team that we have put together, whether it be the boards and commissions or the directors of the various agencies or the staff within the governor's office. And I absolutely plan on making no changes immediately in the team that we've put together. They've done an exceptional job, and we're really proud to have them serving with us in this capacity. So with that, I will open it up for questions.
It's always the second day of the legislative session, so the legislature convenes on the 9th. The condition of the state will be on the 10th, and it's 10 days before the inauguration. Yes, and it's now, by law, I do not have to submit the budget until the end of January, but it's always been my tradition to try to give the legislature an opportunity to get started on it right away. So I intend to not only make my recommendations in the condition of the state, but submit budget for the 2 years of this biennium at the same time. And we're also very hopeful this legislature will approve the supplemental state aid for schools in the first month of the session for both years. Well, it depends upon how long the session goes. But
oh, that's a good point.
we don't know. But I do intend, and the lieutenant governor and I have worked as a team. She's in on all the decision-making and has been from the beginning. And so we'll work together as long as I'm here. And then once I'm confirmed, then I will resign. But that could... As we know, we don't know when that will be exactly, but I suspect it'll be well into the session.
So I just want to make sure I understand, because I think your remarks are sort of confused with you will resign after a Senate confirmation.
Right. Yeah. It's not for sure. I have got to be confirmed by the Senate before I become the ambassador. So, you know, the president has indicated his intentions to appoint me, but that requires Senate confirmation. And if you followed Senate confirmation, that's not always the easiest thing in the world. And I'm taking that responsibility very seriously. And it would be my intention to, I've been suggested by several people that are knowledgeable about this, that I should not only meet with the leadership of the committee, but hopefully with every member of the committee, both Republicans and Democrats.
That process, would that mean taking you to Washington a couple of times before than you expected?
Yeah.
Are there going to be accommodations
Well, you've seen that before. When I'm gone, she's conducted the press conferences. You know, we work together as a team. She's gone on trade missions. I've gone on trade missions. And so I don't expect it'll be more than a day or two that I would be gone for things like that. But, you know, and that's a nice thing about cell phones. We stay in touch on a regular basis during those times, and we work together on those decisions. So, yeah, she will be here when I'm called to D.C. for a meeting with the committee or hearings, things like that.
What committee is that in the Senate?
Foreign Relations
Committee. Yeah, it's the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, I guess, is the appropriate committee. Yes.
Governor, you're talking about the paperwork. Is there no vetting or anything where you had to do paperwork before you could get the interview with the president-elect?
Well, as you know, I'm pretty well known, being governor for 22 years, the longest-serving governor in American history, and I have my life is pretty much an open book. So people know a lot about me, and obviously this relationship that I have with the president of China and with the people of China because of the sister state, which I, you know, we signed the sister state agreement in 83. It's been a very active sister state over all these years. I want to give a lot of credit to the people who have been involved with Iowa's sister states. I wouldn't have this opportunity if it weren't for people like Sarah Landy and Luca Baroni and all the others that have served over the many years in sister states, and many of them have traveled to our sister state, the Hebei province, to Shijiazhuang, and it's that relationship, I think, that impressed President-elect Trump that I would be a good choice for this position. We know it's a difficult assignment. There's a lot of friction and issues that between our two countries, but I'm in a unique situation because I have a long-term friendship. I'm considered an old friend of the president of China, but I also have been a loyal supporter of President-elect Trump.
What about that change? You go from, you've led this state, you've been the top person here, now you're going to be answering to someone else.
That's right.
How's that going to be? How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm a humble guy, so I understand and respect that it's a different position. You're no longer the chief executive of the state, but instead you are part of you're part of the United States government representing our country in the biggest country of the world, China. They have like 1,370,000,000 people. They have the second largest economy. Their economy is growing. So there's a lot of issues that'll have to be dealt with. And obviously, I'm told there's a big staff, and there's, in addition to the embassy, there's also five consulates throughout China that would be under the direction of the of my department.
President-elect Trump has already documented the underlying China policy. Are you going to be taking your cues from him on that? Do you think that the one China policy should be maintained?
Well, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to comment on policy matters before I'm actually confirmed by the Senate. Well, I'll let them if they're going to ask those questions, but it's not my role to be setting policy, but rather to be one that helps implement policy and works as a go-between between our two countries. I want to see the United States and China collaborate where we can so that we can have a growing economy in the United States as well as in China, and that we can have peace in the world. And there's a lot of challenges there out there today, and I understand that I've been appointed to a delicate and difficult position, and I will do my very best.
Governor, last week the Attorney General's office said that they still needed to review Iowa Code, Iowa Constitution about this transition of power. Have you had conversations with them, and have you guys come to an agreement about
that? Well, my staff has had discussions with the Attorney General's office, but I think that Constitution and the code are pretty clear. The Constitution was amended before the 1990 election to have the governor and lieutenant governor elected as a team. And then it's always been the case that in the event of the death or resignation of the governor, the lieutenant governor becomes the governor. And then And I'll let Lieutenant Governor answer the code provision, because that was passed when she served in the state Senate.
Yeah, that was a law that was actually passed when I served in the state Senate in 2009. And in the vacancy, the law reads, in the vacancy of the governor shall appoint a lieutenant governor. So that was passed by both chambers, passed unanimously in the Iowa Senate, and signed by Governor Culver. I think its intent was to clarify.
Right. The Constitution, you know, sets, but the Constitution is silent on that.
And it, yeah.
And obviously the Constitution was amended to have the governor and lieutenant governor elected as a team, and then this code provision passed after the constitutional amendment makes it clear what happens when you have a vacancy in the lieutenant governor's office today.
Oh, golly, Joyce. You know, I think the intent was, if I remember right, it was a bill that was presented from Morrow, Secretary of State Morrow. So I think the intent was to clarify the Constitution, and that's the purpose of the legislation, which passed unanimously.
Yeah, because before that, the governor and lieutenant governor were not elected as a team before that constitutional amendment. And we have not had a vacancy in the lieutenant governor's office since the new system where the lieutenant governor became part of the executive branch of state government. Back when I was lieutenant governor, a long time ago, lieutenant governor was separately elected and was president of the Senate. So you were the one that succeeded the governor, but you were really part of the legislative leadership. And that, of course, was changed with the constitutional amendment. And then the subsequent statute clarified what happens when there's a vacancy in the lieutenant governor's office.
Well, the reality is that we're really not going to do anything different. I have been blessed to serve as a partner in this administration. And when Governor Branstad asked me to run, he said, Kim, we're going to run as a team and we're going to serve as a team. And we have. And so we're going to continue working together to grow Iowa, to keep Iowa moving in the same direction. And so I'm going to continue doing what I've always done, and that's travel to all 99 counties to meet with Iowans, to look at ways that we can grow the economy and provide great careers for Iowans. We're going to continue to work on education and water quality. So we're going to continue what we've been doing for the last 6 years. And as we both like to say, we're proud of what we've done, but we're just getting started, and there's a lot more that we can do.
When you were reelected, you knew that history of the longest serving governor, but so much has changed now. Is there anything in the past that you think about this transition of power?
Well, it's unique, and I never imagined this would happen. First of all, there's a lot of things that have happened. I mean, a lot of people didn't think Donald Trump would get elected president. And I guess maybe initially I didn't either, but that changed. That changed over time. And, you know, I became, well, first of all, I'm a loyal supporter and a team player. I'm proud of what the lieutenant governor and I were able to do when we came back and defeated an incumbent, got the state's financial house in order after the 2010 election. And in 2014, we made additional progress, elected her friend, Joni Ernst, to the United States Senate. We ended up with three of the four congressmen. We restored the leadership of the Republican Party. And Jeff Kaufman's done a great job. And so we have a unified party where we have both senators, three congressmen. We have the leadership in the House and the Senate, the governor and the lieutenant governor, all working together. And that's a unique situation. I think that impressed the Trump team. And my son, of course, met Donald Trump when he was heading the bipartisan Renewable Fuel Alliance. He convinced Mr. Trump to visit the Poet ethanol plant in Gowrie, and Trump asked a lot of good questions. He became a supporter of renewable energy, and, you know, I'll tell you a little story about what happened behind the scenes. At the Trump thank you tour here in Des Moines, you know, he just appointed the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma, who is a brilliant conservative lawyer, as the new head of the EPA. And he's taken on a lot of the overreach that's happened under the Obama EPA. But he's from an oil state, so obviously that gives us a little concern. The first thing Trump told me, he says, don't worry about him, he's going to be for ethanol. I think that was a condition that he basically laid out when he appointed him. So Trump's a pretty blunt, direct guy, and that was reassuring to me, and obviously to my son, who has worked very hard on those issues and also played a very key role, not only in Iowa, but he actually was sent to Wisconsin to help there, too. And as you know, Wisconsin was another one of the states that Trump won that hadn't gone Republican in decades.
I have. I think Senator Hoag actually, you know, had indicated congratulations. And I have, you know, I come from county government, and as a county treasurer, I served 19 years in the office, and it's not very partisan. And so I've had the opportunity to work with Democrat and Republicans across the aisle, and actually was able, when I was in the Iowa Senate, to floor manage a bill and pass it, and it was on an issue that I'd worked extensively on as a county treasurer, and I was in the minority in the in the Iowa State Senate in 2009. So I was very appreciative to have the opportunity to run a bill that dealt with collecting outstanding debt at the treasurer's office, have it pass a Democratic-controlled legislature and signed by a Democratic-controlled governor, a Democrat governor. So I have.
I would also say one of the things that I knew Kim when she was county treasurer. I was very impressed with her. I'd encouraged her to run for the legislature back when she was a county treasurer, and then she got elected to the Senate. And then when I had the opportunity to recommend somebody to the convention to be my running mate to be the candidate for a lieutenant governor, as you know, the governor is nominated by the primary, but the lieutenant governor is chosen by the convention. When I chose Kim and we did a statewide fly around, county treasurers of both parties showed up at stop after stop. So you can see in the trophy case up there in the hall, she got this award as the best county treasurer in the United States. 2003?
Yeah, I thought he was going to talk about my basketball abilities. You know,
that's where well, that's another thing.
There is a picture of that also, just back well, when 6-6 was the thing. Yeah, that's right.
Well, and she was a scoring forward, so. But I will say that the job that she did as county treasurer, and I think that's been a great assurance to people involved in county government. They have somebody that understands their responsibility and has worked at that level as well. And I think that has served her well as lieutenant governor, will serve her well as governor as well. And I was just impressed with the friendships and the working relationship that she has with both county government and with the legislature.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.